is the man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face?
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
We have got an hour filled with football conversation for you. If you're a Bears fan, do not leave the Spiegel and Holmes show because we got you.
Yeah, man. The Mark Sanchez stuff we're going to get to in the back half of the hour from Bernstein and Harris today was unbelievably great. So looking forward to that. And in the meantime, we deal with Groats.
We got Groats. This segment with Mark Grody is brought to you by Loyola Medicine. When things are at their worst, we're at our best. Groats, what do you know?
I am thrilled, Lawrence and Matt, to be part of this big football block on your brand new show, which sounds absolutely awesome, by the way. I would say that out here, things have evened up a little bit. I mean, you know, they're 2-2. It was kind of, I was going to say clunky week last week, but really not. It was a very honest week. It was a very revealing week. I would even say it was a good week leading up to the game, but things seem to have calmed down just a little bit out here at House Hall.
So Wednesday is Caleb Day. What did Caleb have that speaks most to you? And I know we'll get nuggets, tidbits, an injury report, and everything along the way.
Yeah, we got a lot today. So, yeah, let's get to it indeed, Spiegs. Caleb Williams, a couple of cuts from him that I thought were interesting. Obviously, we all saw the game last week, and what they utilized more than anything was a shorter passing game, the underneath stuff. And Caleb Williams was asked about his comfort level in doing that.
No, it's not limiting. You just got to – you honestly have to measure your attack.
Not that one.
Oh, the other one.
The other one.
That's all right.
Here's Caleb Williams on accepting the underneath game.
Yeah, I think that was when I was in college. I think that was a knock on my game. I think everybody wanted to say that I don't take checkdowns and things like that. You know, you also have to adapt to the team. You also have to adapt to the situation. You know, it's always a growing and learning process. And I think I've done, you know, I would say a pretty solid job of finding the checkdowns and understanding that game is so huge for us and our offense and, you know, keeping us on the football field. So, you know, with me doing that, I think it's been important for us. I think it's something that I've gotten better with, obviously, and also I know that, you know, when you can steal first downs, which is what checkdowns do, it helps out tremendously, you know, in the long run of the game.
You know what we haven't touched on very much this week is the other aspect of that, Lawrence, which is that DeAndre Swift is really good when he's got the ball in his hands with a little space. Sometimes he follows the blockers. Sometimes he doesn't and still gets yards because he's fast and he's evasive. And I think it gets him going a little bit, like Olin was talking about earlier.
Yeah, Olin brought it up, and I thought it was a great point where he had said on the postgame show that maybe they found something, or he said it to Mullin Haw on Monday, that they had found something where – maybe you can get DeAndre Swift a little bit more involved by making sure that he's kind of got a Matt Forte-esque type balance to his game where you're using him as a weapon in the run game and in the pass game.
That's a great point, man. I mean, he finally, for the first time, and obviously we're all about Caleb, but DeAndre Swift looked dangerous for the first time. He looked dangerous for the first time since the preseason when Caleb Williams threw that little escape pass to him and he took it 30 or 40 yards or whatever it was. And it was at that point, I think, where everybody was like, oh, yeah, that's the right guy. He looks different than Roschon Johnson. He looks different than Khalil Herbert and Travis Homer. And we didn't see really any of that up until the last game. So it's a great point that Caleb short passing game not only benefited Caleb, but it benefited the running backs, and particularly Swift.
So not turning the ball over might not seem sexy, but I thought, especially in the second half of the game, it was effective. What did Caleb think about it?
Yeah, everybody loves to see zero interceptions by a quarterback's ranking for sure. Made a huge deal about that. Emphasis was on it leading into the game. Caleb was perfect in that regard. But the question is that limiting in some way? As in, you know, you don't have the freedom necessarily to fling it down the field as much. So Caleb, is that limiting you?
No, it's not limiting. You just got to – you honestly have to measure your attack and when is the best chance. I mean, I think that's the toughest thing. You know, you may want that shot, like the pass versus the Colts, you know, where it got tipped up with the defender's back turned and – you know, I threw it to Rome. You got to measure your shots. You got to measure it in the game. Obviously, it's going to be turnovers. It's going to, you know, things that happen. But, you know, not making a bad play worse, not making, you know, the situation worse. And then also, even if the situation is bad, understanding the situation. You know, we may have just had a turnover, a three and out on defense, keeping them off the field, keeping that offense off the field, understanding, you know, taking the check down right there may be best. And just, like I said, measuring, you know, when to take that that knockout shot.
That's adult quarterbacking right there. That's what you got to do. And it's, you know, becomes a binary conversation when you think about that pass. I believe, Mark, that on that second interception, Matt Eberflus commented during the week that, yeah, we don't want him to do that. And some people freaked out, I remember, saying, you don't want to coach the aggressiveness out of him, that kind of thing. It's not binary. But if it is binary, the roster is good. And the team should be able to win some games here at the beginning. So it's okay for a quarterback to lean towards making that exception.
But eventually.
Eventually.
We all want to see the big part because we've seen quarterbacks who can manage games and be careful and not throw interceptions. But, yeah, I mean, you're right. Through four games now. Yeah, I mean, you need him to know that part, the underneath game. But again, eventually, you know, we want, I mean, like I was thinking today in terms of the Bears being 2-2, I don't remember who it was today, said something to the effect of, well, it may not look great, but the Bears are 2-2. I mean, they're one win away from being 3-2. But we all know, anybody who has watched the Chicago Bears over, you know, decades or even just in the last 5 years, we know that eventually, that style of football, careful offense and really good defense and maybe really good special teams, it does not get you to the next level. So I do understand the angst and the desire of wanting to see the big game, but this worked out well this week.
Okay, so what are they saying about how far and how fast can they push Caleb?
Well, I was inspired, I believe it was Kurt Warner with you guys saying this. You guys could confirm that or not, when he indicated that the Bears are asking a little bit more of Caleb than maybe other quarterbacks. And I think particularly Jaden Daniels' name came up because it's like he's running the stuff that he ran in college. So
that was our conversation in transition and for a bunch of Monday. I think it was, so that was our thought. Kurt might have disagreed.
Kurt kind of pushed back a little bit.
Oh,
yeah.
He did.
That.
Okay.
But that's okay. Just to credit where it's due. We believe that and we are smarter than Kurt Warner. Thank you.
I asked Eberflus if there is more on Caleb's plate Ooh. Than other quarterbacks or even
good
relative
job.
To other quarterbacks that he has seen. I don't know if the answer is satisfactory, but that's exactly the way I posed the question. Here it is.
That's an evolution thing, right? You know, so you give him some, you know, when you first start out, like I said, he always leveled up every single time. That's just where we are right now. So he just kept leveling up, and it's the same thing with games. You know, when you put games together, first one was at home, was okay, right? Second one in the noise, right? Then we improved in the noise the next week, got more production. You know, and then last week was just an evolution of that. You know, dispersing the ball around like we're supposed to, playing point guard like we talk about, and playing clean football. And that's what last week was. We played good, clean football. From that position.
Matt, is the next step.
The biggest difference between the way Caleb's playing now and like maybe when the season started?
Yeah, just like I said, just evolution of where he is. Guys playing well around him, I think, is still important. That always is important for us to be able to do that defensively, special teams, and at the skill set and also the line level on offense.
Is the next step for him to get that deep passing game going? Are you guys comfortable just if he's taking what the defense is giving him, if it's a short to intermediate game, is that where your focus is versus this other element has to come in right now?
Yeah, I think you're spot on there in terms of taking what the defense gives you. There's coverages that take away deep, and then there's coverages that take away more of the intermediate. So you got to be able to see and discern what that is post-snap, you know, because teams do a great job of disguising. So it's important that he reads that post-snap and then able to understand where the ball goes.
There's good stuff in there towards the end. Love you following through on a theme that comes up on the air here, and then we explore it later in the week. We all get smarter together. Love that. I will say that's an evolution thing. It's kind of like walking upright. That's an evolution thing that humans eventually did that. The duck-billed platypus, I believe, is one example of an evolution thing, right? If my science memory serves.
Or maybe it has evolved to its most perfect form, and it can't evolve anymore with the duck-billed platypus.
Wow. Groats, we want Caleb to be our duck-billed platypus.
Wow. I was going to go more along the lines of saber-toothed tiger, but if you want to go duck-billed platypus, if that's the hill you want to die on, I'm sticking with the sharp teeth animal.
Okay. Yeah.
Aren't we all an evolution thing, if you believe in that?
That's a good
point. I mean, we'd all be. I believe in Caleb Williams' creationism, but aren't we all an evolution thing, just one animal?
I got to say, I'm a quarterback evolution guy. I am. That's a good point, Shane.
I think he was proud of that, Flew, the evolution thing. That's why he came back to it. He's like, I just told Grody, it's evolution. Right?
What's up yours? A duck-billed platypus?
Also, we got some.
Have you seen my hair? It's really good. Beard.
By the way,
got some good flus.
In a little bit. Okay. We've got some treats in this.
All right. Let's make sure that everyone gets their dinner first, though.
Yes.
So let's get into this discussion that we kind of started the show with today, and that's about DJ Moore. You've been following this as closely as anybody. What's happening here?
Yeah, it's a great question. And speaking of, following up on score topics like Spiegs was just talking about, I did catch some of you guys with Patrick Manley and DJ Moore saying we're going to do it Caleb's way, and the theory of the locker room maybe not liking that, according to what Manley was saying, just surmising. I know he's not saying that as a fact, but just opining on that particular issue. So the big picture, Lawrence, is, there was the sideline thing where DJ Moore was, wearing his frustration. Everybody made a big deal out of that. And so far, let's face it, Caleb Williams and DJ Moore have kind of been running hot and cold on the field in terms of their chemistry. So I asked DJ Moore, are you frustrated as a veteran player who's going to be here for a long time, who just got paid and is in win mode? Is it frustrating dealing with a rookie quarterback in Caleb Williams?
A little bit, and then it's not, because we was all rookies at one point being a vet. So I know what he's going through. You can't be too frustrated. I mean, you could be frustrated within the way you're playing, like as a player, but not at a young guy that's still coming along.
It's interesting. So, yeah, I mean, where do you fall on the discussion that we were having with Pat, where DJ Moore, who said that he's going to adjust and do it the Caleb way in terms of that one pattern where they got crossed up, I think we took it as a good thing. At least I did.
That I did too.
Good, yeah. So we took it as a good thing that you adjust to your young quarterback, make it easier for him. You're the veteran. You know how to adjust easier.
And understand that this is a major adjustment for Caleb.
Yes, he's got so many things he's adjusting to. You could adjust this one thing. Pat was a little concerned that some in that locker room might take it as Caleb getting special treatment.
I understood where Pat was coming from. I thought it was an intriguing take that he had. I disagree, though, because it is all about Caleb Williams. It is as important as DJ Moore is in terms of where this franchise thinks it's going. It is all about Caleb Williams, the quarterback who they drafted number one overall, who is supposedly a generational quarterback who you are going to win because of. If that is true, then everybody in that locker room has to adjust to Caleb Williams. I'll tell you one more thing, too. I remember talking to DJ Moore last year when it got down to the end and we didn't know yet if Justin Fields was going to be back. We know that he was steadfast in supporting Justin Fields. And one of the questions that was asked of him, are you excited if a rookie comes in here? If it's maybe it's Caleb Williams, maybe it's Jaden Daniels, whatever the case may be at that time with about three games to go. And DJ Moore, one of the real things he said was the issue with a new brand new quarterback is everybody's got to learn new. The quarterback's got to learn new. We got to learn the quarterback. We got to learn a new system. So I think DJ Moore, while I know he likes Caleb Williams and he appreciates his talent, I think that there's, from a veteran's perspective, and I imagine Keenan Allen feels this way too, they want to get going, man. They want to win now. As you heard from DJ Moore, they understand it because they were all rookies, but there is that part of them that's like, yeah, we got to go through this. We know, but it kind of sucks to have to go through the development phase again.
Groats, let me ask you something similar that I asked Patrick. does it make you listen back to the Mercedes Lewis tape through a different lens now? Because if he's saying, hey, you can treat all of us rough from the oldest guy, a.k.a. me, down to the youngest guy, who the youngest guy would be Caleb. So does it make any sense to build a bridge to that being what Mercedes Lewis and maybe DJ Moore are talking about?
In terms of speaking your mind and being honest with everybody?
The quarterback is being treated differently than the other players.
Oh, yeah. No, I see what you're saying. And like, I understand that, but I also think that Mercedes Lewis knows and DJ Moore knows and any veteran in that locker room knows that, yeah, certain players are going to be treated differently. It's life. You know, I mean, it kind of stinks sometimes that guys are treated differently, are going to be given different chances, are going to be given different power. But I think that that's the way it goes. And I understand Caleb Williams hasn't necessarily earned that yet. But if they want this team to be pointed in the right direction on a consistent basis offensively, it's got to be Caleb Williams' way for now, or until they decide, if they ever do decide, that Caleb Williams is not the guy.
Great thoughts from the talk show host version of Mark Grody right there in the middle of this Bears report. Take us to the Tory Taylor special teams player of the week moment of the day. Good for him. Good for that dude.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We weren't even sure if we're going to get to talk to him today because, as we were told, well, we're not sure if the punter is going to talk because today's the day that the punter punts. The punter is outside punting, but they did wrangle him up. He came into the locker room.
Doesn't he do that every day? I would do it more than one day. It's just my thought.
That's why I thought it was funny. Well, sorry, he's out there punting right now, so the punter can't get him in here. So he finally did come inside to speak. That's how dedicated Tory Taylor is. But yes, name the NFC Special Teams Player of the Week. Here's Tory.
Caleb had mentioned how you're the only punter's tape who he may have ever watched. And obviously a lot of people are excited that you were coming here and your reputation in Iowa. Does it feel good to justify where you were selected and justify the hype?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's one of those things that, you know, when my career is done, I want HT and Poles to look like absolute geniuses. So at the end of the day, I also want to be one of those guys that no one really knows about, kind of just goes out there and does his business and runs off the field, because I feel like, to me, that's how you kind of like play for a long time. And I just want to be consistent. You know, last week was probably a bit of a D game, and this weekend was probably more so of an A game, but I really just want to narrow the gap between the good and the bad games. And it's obviously pretty exciting playing well, but it's really just one game, so I can't get too ahead of yourself.
I loved him in Cocktail, the movie Cocktail. He was Tom Cruise's mentor, the older bartender. Lawrence, I thought he was great in that, didn't you?
Yeah, he showed us some different ways to mix things up.
Yeah.
And now he's turned himself into the special teams player of the week. Like the funny part about this to me is this is something that Ryan Poles right now can take a victory lap on. This guy is exactly like, instead of them saying, all right, well, maybe we'll go out and find some extra help on the offensive line. No, I have a really good defensive team. What happens if I give the really good defensive team an excellent punter to pin offenses back? I think he can already take a victory lap on this.
I think I agree with you. I think it makes it easier for me that he traded back into, what, round 5 and grabbed Austin Booker, who has some hope and shows us some hope as a defensive end and edge rusher. That makes me feel like we also did address that. And I wonder if that aggression is connected to the punter pick in some way. At least
Tory Taylor did say, as I don't know if you guys could catch it just because of the accent, but you know, he did not punt well the week before this past game. He gave himself a D for sure. And it was funny because as we gathered around him, he said before, and actually I did have the tape rolling, and he said, why didn't you guys talk to me last week? Nobody answered the question. And he goes, oh, nobody's going to answer the question? And I think it was Berman who said, we were here. And he said, okay, on with the interview. So I don't know if he was being serious or sarcastic, like, oh, you wanted us to come to your locker when you had the D as in dog? So it is an interesting personality,
I mean,
Tory Taylor.
It's kind of interesting, too, because maybe he can... maybe he will be willing to let you into the process of why he has a rough game. So, I mean, I don't want that to happen, but the next time he does, let's go to his locker and let's see how he approaches it.
That's what I wondered, Lawrence. I'll swing by his locker tomorrow and get some clarification and ask him about that. But I wasn't sure if he was like sort of self-deprecating thing, like, oh, you guys did, why didn't you want to talk? Or does he really want to explain the process? And or it's just the lack of respect for the special teams guys in general in an NFL locker room.
Been a busy week. I don't know how many times we've mentioned the name Jervon Dexter, who might be out playing Jalen Carter at this point in the NFL season. Groats.
Yeah, man, he looks like a different dude. You know, it's funny, like we're so interested in watching the development of Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze and the issues on the offensive line. It's like while we're paying attention to that, look over here, because there's Jervon Dexter. All of us, like, he hasn't made like the huge jump yet, but you're starting to see it, the power, the wins he's having along the defensive line, and he's getting dominant. Here's Jervon Dexter.
What have you improved at most relative to last year?
I would say winning my one-on-ones and then capitalizing on them, and then as well just getting off the ball and able to acknowledge what's a run set, what's a pass set. So
pad level is a big issue when you came here. It's one of those kind of harder than it looks.
It is, yeah. It's a lot harder than it looks because I'm taller. I'm on the taller end for a D lineman, so just reminding myself to get my pads down and striking low and coming my stands low is something that I'm still working on to this day. And when I do it right, it looks good. And when I don't, I need to fix it. So
how do you feel you're doing on that as far as consistency? You know,
I'm not consistent with it right now. Yeah, it's a challenge for me, for sure.
Was that something that you were able to get away with more in college?
Yeah, a lot more. So in college, I was more of I could physically beat, you know what I mean, beat some of the guys, and then now you gotta, you know what I mean, you gotta play with technique, and then you still, I mean, like, I think I'm really strong. So I think sometimes I still can't get away with it, but in my head, I have to remember that you gotta stay low, and it'll look better, and you'll win like that.
I know you don't compare yourself to Jalen Carter, but do you still think, man, I still gotta prove that I should have been a first round pick?
Nah, yeah, I remember everything. So I remember teams that passed on me. I remember everything. So, I definitely do, and that's something I'm proving to myself.
Damn, I didn't even know that was in the cut. Good stuff out of you, Groats. They will forever be compared, at least in the mind of us. And I like that kid. When you heard him, he cut out the honey buns in the offseason. He's like he's working on his body. The humility to say, I'm not good at that yet, and I'm still working on it. The comfort to say that.
Cut out the honey buns, Emma.
Emma's had a complex sense, man. He comes in with a salad every day to Hallis Hall now since Parkins mocked him.
Does he really?
Yeah, every day he comes in with salad. It's terrible. Dressing, the whole thing.
Well, yep. You know, some people like Chris Emma, and I don't know if Danny was one of them. I'll just tell you that.
I love Chris Emma. He's a good man and thorough. Groats, appreciate you. We got to run. Thanks so much.
Oh, man. Okay, you guys are going to have to play the flues.
All right, no. Tanny says we can do it.
We got to play the flues.
So let's play the flues.
Okay, and there's a funny DJ Moore, but you guys could play that later. So as you guys know, I know people get a kick out of it when there's the media kind of goes at each other trying to ask questions, and we get sort of messed up, and we're going up against each other. Matt Eberflus took care of business today with me and Pat Finley.
Man, I know we're only at the Wednesday portion. Oh, go ahead.
No.
Oh.
It's like the debate last night. You guys are great.
We'll give Finley a one-minute rebuttal. If Tevin Jenkins does, I know we're only at Wednesday, but if he can't.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah. That's it. Bye, guys.
No. Hold on, Groats.
Oh, okay.
Tevin Jenkins and the injury report. Give us whatever you can about that real quick.
Yeah, absolutely. Tevin Jenkins, he has the rib bruise, did not practice. DeAndre Carter, same, rib injury, did not practice. Zach Pickens, Terrell Smith, didn't practice, groin and hip injuries. Cole Kmet pops up on the injury list today, limited knee. Montez Sweat, that's Montez, limited ankle.
Thanks, Groats.
Groats, you're the man. Guys.
Later, boys.
That is Mark Grody with our Bears report. We're sitting in the office, the four of us, and we're getting ready to start the show. And Shane's like, wait, we should probably like listen to this Mark Sanchez interview. And we were really happy as a show that we did. There's some stuff in here that if you want to learn about quarterbacking and what Caleb's going through, you do not want to miss. We will share it with you next on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Good vibes, babe.
After Afternoons on the Score.
Williams gets hit by Verse, stays up, on the move.
Got him.
And he connects with Swift, who dives ahead near the sticks. They'll mark him out of bounds to stop the clock with 32 seconds left, and it's good enough for a first down, seemingly.
Well, watch Verse working on the left side with Braxton Jones, gets that push. Caleb somehow slips out of the tackle. He had Swift early and ends up finding him late. There was Swift on the sidelines, working those tick marks, that ladder on the sideline.
I have really enjoyed Adam Amin teaming up with Mark Sanchez. I enjoyed Adam Amin with Mark Schlereth, but we talked with Adam when he was here in studio, and he's like, look, this guy's really good. This guy's really good at breaking the games down. So hearing them on the broadcast together is excellent. Then hearing Mark Sanchez on the Score earlier today was awesome, because then it could get hyper-focused on to quarterbacking and to Caleb and what Bears fans want to know about that guy. Speaks, what stood out to you in that conversation?
Well, let's get to the stuff on Caleb first. There's a couple chunks, and hopefully we'll have time to do it all. But what he's seen from Caleb so far and how Caleb is handling life in the NFL from Mark Sanchez, a guy who can relate on lots and lots of levels.
He didn't even realize how talented he is yet, because once he gets this game management stuff figured out, oh, mama, look out, right? So he has to fight that all the time, because his arm is good enough. If his feet get sloppy, his arm can fix it. Now, if that becomes a pattern and you start drifting in the pocket and boom, now you start getting hit, well, what the heck? I got to get back to my fundamentals. You know what I mean? So he's developing that stuff. He's stretching and flexing and working out new muscles. And a lot of those muscles that you're working out in the NFL are just saying uncle, are just quitting on a play when the defense wins, and they're going to win. You have to understand these defensive coordinators, they're sick, dude. They're twisted in the head. All they want to do is stay up all night for 6 nights a week, don't see the daylight until they go out for practice. They don't see their family. All they're doing is dialing up blitzes and pressures and ways to ruin your Sunday in front of your family and embarrass your ass. That's all they're trying to do. So when you understand that, then, okay, how do we come up with a plan to handle this? How do we come up with a plan for, hey, man, this guy dialed up a good pressure there. I got to get rid of the ball. I got to fall down. I got to throw a ball in the stands and give somebody a souvenir just so Cairo Santos can get us 3 points and we stay in this ball game. Those are the things he's trying to work out. And then from a coaching staff standpoint, like, you don't want to take it all away from him and put him in this little phone booth where he can only turn around and hand the ball off, and you get to throw it on third downs when we have to. You know what I mean? Because that feels like you're grounded. You know what I mean? No screen time this week. You're in trouble. You know? That kind of stuff is like, it's a little remedial. It's definitely embarrassing. And the team kind of feels it like, oh, he can't handle it yet. You know, he needs the training wheels. But if you do it in a more organic way, like the way they did last week, and the other, when he sees the other guys handling some of the hard stuff for him and realizes he can be the distributor and just dump it down to Roschon Johnson and dump it down to DeAndre Swift when the backers are in their deep zone drops, oh my God, it's like a freeing feeling. When I got the chance to dump it down to LaDainian Tomlinson and he scampers for 25 yards on the first play of a 2-minute drive, I mean, are you kidding me? You don't have to throw it 25 yards to get 25 yards. So he's learning that. And it's really fun to watch, because he is one special player. And once he gets it, I'm telling you, look out.
I really like that, something that the two of us were talking about on Monday as a positive, he sees as a positive. The concept of checking it down, that you don't, remember what I wrote in my notes? You don't have to do it by yourself.
Yeah, you don't have to do it alone, man. You don't have to throw it 25 yards to get 25 yards.
I love that. Yeah. I love that we, at least according to one of Fox's lead analysts, we weren't far off in realizing that that was a positive step forward for Caleb as we're trying to figure out what things really do make sense from his growth. And I know it can be something like, well, what do you, like, you checked it down. Like, that's what he's supposed to do. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But you've always been the guy who makes the great plays, and you want to be the guy who makes the great plays still. But sometimes the positive play is doing that. I also love his take on how it can look to a team when you put a quarterback in a phone booth and limit him, and that you have to do it in a more kind of elegant way and a more empathetic way, if you will, so a guy doesn't feel embarrassed and the team doesn't feel like you don't trust him. Thought that was really interesting.
Especially when you have a quarterback who's as smart and perceptive.
Yeah.
As Caleb Williams is.
That's a good point.
And I mean as a human being.
You got it. He could feel that. He would notice that.
Like, oh, what are they doing over there?
It's a masculine game, man. It's a masculine game. And you're taking away my testosterone. People are going to feel that. All right, this is a little longer, but I think it's really important that we get to, because we all thought this was really good too. Mark Sanchez on what Shane Waldron's game plan looked like in this game, where it was changed, how it was simpler, and the patience that is continuously demanded from all involved.
A lot of it's just time on task. A lot of it's discipline. A lot of it's self-control, impulse control. And really being locked in, and to lock into a game plan, to lock into your set of objectives, it's got to be dialed. It's got to be flushed out. It's got to be, once again, rehearsed so many times that like the military, right? Like, there's always going to be something you don't expect, but you're pretty much trained for everything, right? You just go into operational mode and there's no emotion and you just go. And that's kind of what you're trying to get to as an offense. But remember, these guys have so much time. Okay, I'll give you a good example. They have so much time on task on wide zone. Okay, outside zone. That's a Shane Waldron special. That's kind of where he, you know, got his start with Sean McVay and all these guys and this West Coast tree and derivative of the West Coast offense, whatever. Well, the other day, we saw very little outside zone. And they're running downhill. They're running duo, which is double teams in front. They're running power behind Pryor until Jenkins got hurt, and then they had to move Pryor over. But they are completely changing in this past game. And I think about all the reps that they have, the hundreds and hundreds of reps you have at outside zone, and now we're going to switch it up and run inside zone and downhill gap trap, man schemes. So those kind of things have to happen. They're like growing pains, you know, for a young boy or girl going through playing athletics. You know what I mean? Like jumper's knee. You know, like those things happen, and you got to work through them. And so the pre-snap stuff, I mean, it's just a decision. It's an attitude. It's your identity of just, hey, we don't do that. We don't beat ourselves. The good teams let the other teams beat them. They do not beat themselves. You start beating yourself, it's impossible to go anywhere. You take, you know, one step forward, two steps back, and you're looking around like, oh, well, Caleb sucks, man. Well, 3rd and 15 sucks, okay? It's not necessarily the quarterback. Think of an offense as not just like this dead playbook. It is a living, breathing animal, essentially. And it's got to grow, and it's got to change, and it's got to adapt. All these counters and different plays you see and the off-script stuff that the Chiefs have, that's 7+ years of reps, throwing in the off-season, talking through coverages, understanding it, seeing it the same way with Kelsey and Mahomes and all these guys. They've had these core players. Hey, here's what we're going to call this. Everybody's overplaying this when we run a specific route. We're going to hit them with a counter. Kelsey, you're going to block this time. We're going to send the other tight end out on some of these routes and fake them out. Like, there has to be growth there. But for the first year with a brand new offense, brand new quarterback, it's okay to be simple and subscribe to that simplicity and understand what you're getting into. Sure, some of these teams, you'll be overmatched a little bit. But these plays are designed, when they're executed properly, to score or to at least gain, you know, 4 to 10 yards, something like that. So okay, if we can get 11 guys to do this play right, even though it's the first day install play, it should work. There's no reason it shouldn't work. So it sounds simple, but it's not easy, right? The in theory, it's pretty basic. In practice, it's awfully complicated.
It's great stuff from Mark Sanchez with our midday show. This stuff about inside zone runs versus outside zone runs is frankly above my pay grade to notice as I'm watching live on TV. And so for him to give that to us is incredibly helpful. And I want to get smarter on that. But we knew it was different. Just didn't know exactly what we were watching. Pat Manley earlier on this show referred to an inside run as opposed to an outside run that he saw during the game as well. But the stuff, Lawrence, about the living, breathing animal that is an NFL offense, that struck me as like the stuff you discovered with Sean McVay and Robert Mays that we played earlier last week.
The smart offensive minds are going to adapt and understand it. And that's why I'm willing to give Shane Waldron more time as he tries to figure all of this stuff out. It's Spiegel and Holmes bringing you football, baby, here on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on The Score.
I believe the pregame show, postgame show, going to Wonderverse in Oak Brook next weekend.
Wonderful.
Yes, that is the truth. The pregame and postgame show on Sunday after Bears-Panthers is going to be at the arcade at Wonderverse, and we want to hook you up. This place is amazing. I'm going to be there with Olin and Patrick, and it's going to be a good time. We want to give you a $200 gift card. So if you're caller six to this number, listen very carefully. 312-540-0670. We're going to give you a $200 gift card. 312-540-0670 to Wonderverse in Oak Brook. Join Olin Kreutz, Patrick Manley, and myself at Wonderverse in Oak Brook this Sunday for our pre- and post-game shows before and after Chicago takes on Carolina. I am looking very much forward to it. If you're on Twitch and you're like, Lawrence, what happened? Why are you in the room by yourself? Well, holiday is here.
Spiegel went to go to TV.
No,
he's going to BET.
That would be hilarious. Didn't he have the thing where the defender, I think the defender, because his group was called Brother Brother, and the defender like interviewed him, and he went over there, and they were like, oh, that's so you guys are brothers, not brothers. So he's been through this before, but no, he's not going to BET, and he's definitely not going to go do a show called Dinner Ball now. And he's not over at CHSN with Haw and Ruthie and my guy Cam Smith doing their show. The holidays are here. Rosh Hashanah starts at sundown, so he wanted to be home with his family. And we were like, I think, Tanny, I'm not kidding you, I think because of where the sun is in the day, that I think that once it became visible inside the Score studio is when he remembered. And he was like, oh yeah, I should probably get out of here before the sun goes down. I think that's what happened. But
sure look like he's got his own little sundial in there with the setup here. So yeah, good for him.
Yeah, good for him. And it works out, and family is really important. And I hope that everyone has a really happy and healthy new year. And I know that it can be rough, especially with the news over the last 24 hours. But we are wishing all of our friends a really wonderful, wonderful new year celebration and peace to everyone. Thanks to all of our guests on today's show. It's been awesome. Whether we were talking with Mark Grody or Patrick Manley, it was excellent on today's show. And we thank you for your support of this radio show. We'll be back again. Speegs is going to be off tomorrow, so I'm holding down the first hour by myself, and Nico Horner is going to join us. Our buddy Jason Leisure is going to be in the house from 3 until 6. We are planning on having a great time. We love that you support the show. We will try to return that love tomorrow starting at 2 o'clock. For Spiegs and Tanny and Shane, I'm Lawrence. Thanks for listening to Spiegel at Home. See you at 2 tomorrow on The Score.
For all of our Jewish friends, be safe when you drive home.